Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio program, our first show of the new year. It is Saturday night, January 5th. We're coming to you from our flagship radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And dare I say that we have saved the best for last tonight. Our good friend, Dr. Kevin McDonald, is rejoining the broadcast tonight, and he will be with us for the remainder of the program. Dr. McDonald, of course, is a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach. He is the author and or editor of any number of epic works, from the culture of critique to cultural insurrections. He also manages the website, theoccidentalobserver.net, in addition to being the editor of the Occidental Quarterly magazine. Is there anything, Keith Alexander, my co-host, that this man does not do? Well, again, as I say, he is one of our all-time favorite guests, and for good reason. Kevin, thanks for helping us kick off the new year to a great start and in grand fashion. Great to have you back with us.
Hey, James, it's great to be here.
Well, my friend, I always do, we're making daily rounds at theoccidentalobserver.net, and I saw a couple of excellent articles that you penned regarding the war on Christmas and the war against guns and who is behind those campaigns. But before we get to that, I'd like to go back to a very generic topic, but it's one that doesn't get very good treatment outside of venues such as ours and yours, and that is the control of the media. I'm going to share with you an article that you've probably already read. It was penned by a columnist for the Times of Israel. So this is a Jewish writer, and this is what he offers. "We Jews are a funny breed," he writes. "We're a driven group, and not just in regard to the art world. We have, for example, AIPAC, which was essentially constructed to drive the agenda in Washington, D.C., and it succeeds. And we brag about it. Again, it's just what we do. But the funny part is, when any anti-Semite or anti-Israel person starts to spout stuff like the Jews control the media and the Jews control Washington, suddenly we're up in arms. We create huge campaigns to take these people down. Does anyone see the irony of this? Let's be honest with ourselves here, fellow Jews," he writes. "We do control the media. We've got so many dudes up in the executive offices and all the big movie production companies, it's almost obscene. Just about every movie or TV show, whether it be Tropic Thunder or Curb Your Enthusiasm, is rife with actors, directors, and writers who are Jewish. Did you know that all 8 major film studios are run by Jews? But that's not all. We also control the ads that go on these TV shows." And Kevin, it just goes on and on from there. So, basic question to get things started tonight: why are you and I and Keith Alexander and others cast as anti-Semites for essentially agreeing with what Jewish writers like this have to say about their own power and influence?
Right, that's a very good question. Because there have been other articles sort of like that. This guy Stein had one in the Los Angeles Times a few years ago. He just sort of said, you know, yeah, we control the media. It's good that we do. If I were to put my finger on one issue that I think is the biggest roadblock for us, for having a sense of white identity and having a sense of white interest and pursuing them, it's the fact that these people control the media. There's just a very, very long history now where Jews, the organized Jewish community, Jewish writers, Jewish producers, directors, writers, oppose any sense of identity among white Europeans, and this is a huge problem because it never surfaces. Therefore, in the big mainstream media, you don't see it in the New York Times, you don't see it in any mainstream Hollywood movies, you don't see it pretty much anywhere except for sites like mine on the internet, your radio programs, and so on. We are sort of relegated to the sidelines, to the periphery, to the fringe, you know, and that is our biggest problem right there.
Well, Kevin, this is Keith Alexander. by the way, it's good to finally get to speak to you after reading all of your articles for many, many years. Let me ask you this. In another article you wrote about, yes, Virginia, the Jews stole Christmas, you say, Jews have been in the vanguard of an effort to transform Christmas time into a holiday season belonging to all Americans and not something specific for Christians. Now, I would go a little bit further than that. Based on the research I've done and the questing I've done through the years, I think they've been in the vanguard of every radical egalitarian movement that has plagued America since they started to come over in large numbers in the second great wave of immigration beginning in 1890. Now, am I wrong in that, or is there another timeline that would be followed on this, or has that Jewish power and influence that we're talking about been prevalent throughout the 20th century?
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. My article was simply on Christmas and the aspect where Jews have influenced Christmas in this country. But there's no question. In my book, The Culture Critique, I talk about the Jewish left in general. So, yes, Jews have been in the vanguard. They've been the backbone of the left in America throughout the 20th century. And I'd say one of the biggest goals that they have really is the dispossession of white Americans. Talking about the media, the fact that they control the media has huge impact on how people think of themselves. White people have been led to think that there's something wrong with them, there's something pathological, to have a sense of being white, to have a sense of having interest, to wanting to hold on to political power in this country, to not want to become a minority. But all those things are pathologized by the media. They are vigorously resisted. Huge amounts of money, media control, and so on, go into the opposite point of view. And so that's what our problem is. So I totally agree with you. We have, go to the Occidental Observer, we have quite a few different areas where Jews have had a very decisive influence. Certainly the Christmas is celebration of Christmas is one, but immigration policy is another. And in the big picture, immigration policy is hugely important. And this is why whites are becoming a minority. This is why we have multiculturalism everywhere now. But yeah, they are the backbone of the political, intellectual, cultural left.
They are the left, and we here in Red State America, which is kind of the heart of not the heart of darkness, but the heart of Gentilism, white Gentilism in America. A lot of people aren't very up on the Jewish question, just like we here in the South tend to kind of secretly cluck about people in places like Northern California, Massachusetts, or Minnesota not being black-wise. Few people down here in the South are Jew-wise, possibly because Jews make up 0.1% of the population of places like Arkansas and Mississippi. And some of the Jews that we have were totally assimilated, like Mayor Henry Loeb of Memphis, who was the mayor of Memphis when Martin Luther King was assassinated and was opposed to all the lefts. Could you speak to that after we have this break?
Don't
right
go
now?
Away.
We're going to.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be right back, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in studio, Kevin McDonald, our featured guest, and we will continue with them right after these words.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, James and Keith in studio. Dr. Kevin McDonald, our guest tonight, our featured guest, the first guest of the new broadcasting year for the political cesspool. And Kevin McDonald is, among many other things, in my opinion, the world's foremost scholar on the effects of Jewish power and influence. And as we so often say, to every rule there is the exception. Certainly there are Jews with which we work with on this program, and they agree with us on the issues, but that is not the norm. And when talking about the effects of Jewish power and influence, it's always a delicate subject. You get shouted down as being a hater or an anti-Semite for offering objective criticism. Certainly there's no hatred in my heart or in Keith's or in Kevin's, but we have looked at the facts and we have come to the same conclusions that the Jews have in their own publications, that yes, they control the media. Yes, they are leading the charge in the war against Christmas and many other things that are detrimental to whites in general and the Christian outlook specifically. And so we talk about these things because we feel as though it's important, and we try to do it in the most professional and polished way that we can. But it is not anti-Semitism to tell the truth as you know it. And so with that, Kevin, getting back to the fact of the matter, in with regards to the war on Christmas, you pointed out in an excellent column that you wrote at theoccidentalobserver.net that in a new book, Joshua Eli Plout's A Kosher Christmas, Tis the Season to be Jewish, that it's documented in that book what we have known all along, that the Jews did indeed subvert Christmas. And what's the matter with Jewish power and influence? What's the matter if they control the media? What's the matter if they control our government? Well, the problem is that they are indeed leftist and liberals, and we don't believe that that ideology is what's right for Americans. And Keith had a great question for you, Kevin, as we reopen the second segment. Keith, repose the question, and let's give the doctor his due time.
Is why are people in red state America, white Gentiles in red state America, so innocent of knowledge regarding Jewish power and influence, particularly to the point that fundamentalist churches now have put Jews on a pedestal? You know, Jewish dispensationalism is preached by people like TV preacher John Hagee And there are people that think that the Jews, rather than being the original and most obdurate enemies of Christianity throughout the history of Christianity, are actually our best friends.
Right. That's a very good point. I mean, the reality is, I think it's not just in the South. I think everyone, you know, white people in general, don't know much about Jewish issues. And again, we keep coming back to the media. I mean, if you look at, say, conservatives, like, you know, so-called conservatives like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly, they will never talk about these things. I wrote a column a while ago about Ann Coulter, and she just mentioned this thing in passing, you know, talking about the fact that the Republican Party is going to die probably because there's so many non-whites in the country. You're going to have almost all white people vote Republican in order to win an election. And she says, oh, she blames immigration, and she just wants to blame Teddy Kennedy. Well, that's just silly to blame Teddy Kennedy for the immigration onslaught.
Well, you know, Teddy Kennedy wasn't the only person that sponsored that bill. It was sponsored in the House by Emanuel Seller, and I'm sure, let's play guess that ethnicity.
And you have to talk about the entire organized Jewish community, all the money that went into these organizations in the 1950s and 1960s, and continues to go into these pro-immigration organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center and so on. You have to talk about the whole package. It's silly to talk about one lawmaker. And certainly, yeah, you're right. You know, Seller was very important, Jacob Davis, and there are a lot of other people in Congress who were very important. Teddy Kennedy was there for like 2 years. You know, in 1965, he'd just become a senator for 2 or 3 years. He hadn't been because, you know, he took the position that he took the Senate seat that John F. Kennedy had. So he was a freshman senator. He had no power, really. So he gets blamed for the whole thing. But if you look at the scholarship, and I'm not the only one who says this, there's a scholar, Hugh Davis Graham, who talks about it. He says the people who really changed American immigration policy were Jews. The organized Jewish community and all these activist organizations, all the money that was pushed into wanting to change this the pro-European focus of American immigration. So, you know, that the problem is that these ideas cannot get into the mainstream media. Instead, you have, you know, these mainstream conservatives like Ann Coulter. When they want to talk about immigration, they would never talk about that. Bill O'Reilly talks about the war on Christmas every year. He'll spend 2 months on the war on Christmas. He will never talk about Jewish influence, even though there's this book, an academic book by a Jew that says exactly that. He won't go there because he knows if he did, there'd be a huge uproar. He'd have to apologize. There'd be issues about, you know, boycotting the Fox network, the advertising and so on, pressure from above and below and everywhere.
Well, there's a more practical reason for this, too, Kevin, I think. You know, I was listening to Piers Morgan, who was getting on to somebody saying that Christians need to apologize for their religion because it has anti-homosexual parts in it. Well, most of the Bible that speaks against homosexuality is in the Torah, which is the holy book of the Jews and also is a holy book for Islam. But neither Islam nor Judaism tend to be attacked by people like Piers Morgan, only Christianity.
That's right.
And I think the reason is he knows that if he started going after the Muslims, they'd issue a fatwa against him. And if he went against the Jews, he'd lose his career on mainstream media.
That's exactly right.
And they know this instinctively, particularly people that hang out on the left coast, as it is so prosaically called here, or in the environs of New York. But people in the rest of the country basically, one, they're innocent of knowing really the full reach of Jewish power and influence, and two, they just, you know, they even have their religion conspiring to tell them that their suspicions are groundless. In fact, they're just exactly opposite of what the reality is. Let me ask you this question. How do the Jews manage to pull this off,
control? It's a long story, and that's one of the things that you're saying. You know, when you talk about Jewish issues, people just sort of, you know, their eyes glaze over. They automatically tune out. The fact is, it's very hard to talk about these things. Like in a radio program, it's hard because it's like prone to like sound bites. You can't present an organized, scholarly, factual-based case because that takes a long time. It's relatively boring, I suppose. But that's what you have to do, and that's what I've tried to do. So I wrote a book called Cultural Insurrections. In that book, there's a fairly long essay on the characteristic of Jews that basically make this happen. One is ethnic networking. One of the big events, I think, in the last couple of months is Ron Unz's article about college admissions in the Ivy League universities. Ron Unz is Jewish. He owns the American Conservative. He wrote this wonderful article in the American Conservative about the fact that Jews are tremendously overrepresented at Harvard, Yale, all these Ivy League universities.
And they get counted as white people.
Academic abilities.
And the other thing, Kevin, is they get counted as white people. So I read an article by Carolyn Chen in the New York Times saying whites have no reason to complain about representation in places like Harvard and Yale because they're 57% of the student body. But when you back out the full one-third of the student body that is Jewish, that leaves them with 24%, but they're 60% of the population, so they are the most underrepresented demographic category in those schools, schools that Pat Buchanan has called the breeding stables of America's elite. Well, if that's indeed is the case, and I believe it is, then we know who's going to be leading America in the 21st century, and it ain't us.
That's right. I mean, in fact, as you say, white people are the most underrepresented minority of people. We're the majority of the country, but we are very much underrepresented at Harvard. 18% of undergraduates at Harvard.
Kevin,
whites.
Right on cue, Kevin. There is a commercial break, and we've got to take it, and we'll be back with you right after this, my friend. Stay tuned, everybody. It's okay. Only going to get better.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. 449-0044. CardioPrimp.com.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, the political cesspool. We're rounding the final turn here. Two more segments tonight in the broadcast, the first of the new year. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in studio. The great Dr. Kevin McDonald, professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, is our featured guest tonight, and what a guest he is, Keith. And I'll tell you, the quickest way to be falsely branded as an anti-Semite or even a Nazi in today's political climate is to go out in public or on a radio show, for instance, and have an honest, an intellectual discussion about the adverse effects of Jewish power and influence, which, by their own admission, exists in the media, in the war against Christmas, and in many other aspects of the culture war. And, you know, to be objective and to be honest on this issue is to ask for your lashings in the public square. But, Kevin, let me ask you this. And again, I say, none of what we talk about on this show stems from hatred. It all stems from a love of honesty and a love of our people. The fact of the matter remains that the way that most Jews in positions of power, whether it be in government, academia, or media, entertainment, most of the ways that their power is employed has an adverse effect on the founding stock and on the Christian population of this country. And for that reason, we oppose it. We don't hate Jews, and this is the second time I've said it this hour, but we do disagree with their viewpoints on any number of issues. And so, Kevin, my question to you is this. Since when did the power of name-calling become such a nuclear weapon? You know, you're talking about our people who, you know, defended the gates of Vienna and have done so many great things, saddled up and rode in a war that they almost were certain to lose with Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Since when did people, the descendants of Davy Crockett and Nathan Bedford Forrest and Andrew Jackson, since when did these people become so afraid of being called a name?
It's an amazing thing. It's pathetic in a way that being called a name. Your book, Racism, Schmacism, is an excellent account of the fear that white Americans have. And of course, it's not, part of it is that they are also afraid of some kind of public ostracism. And it's not just that it's not occurring in a social vacuum. They worry about losing their job, losing their friends, so there are a lot of real world implications here. But yeah, it was a gradual process. It really happened the same time and for the same reason. When Jews became this intellectual elite, when they really dominated the media in the 20th century, you started to see that. It started, I think, in the universities and sort of filtered down. I mean, if you as you were implying, if you went 100 years ago, I mean, you wouldn't have this kind of thing. People were very upfront about being white and having white interests and so on. But it has been successfully made into something, quote, shameful. And so many of our people are concerned about their reputation, and that's understandable. I mean, I think I'm an evolutionary psychologist. I think part of it is that we evolved to value our reputation. And they've created this context where someone who expresses the idea that, you know, we love our people, we love our race, we're white, we have interests. These interests are as completely as reasonable as the fact that Jews want to run Israel or Koreans want to run Korea. I mean, it's absolutely rational. But we can't break through this. I've seen so many people, you see academic people on my job, they're just terrified of being called a racist.
Well, Kevin, this is Keith Alexander. Let me chime in at this point. The eternal question is why and how. Why do they do it? How do they do it? You said that it was complex to figure out how they did it. Let me offer a one-word explanation. Money. I think that basically the Kennedys and the Bushes were corrupted and subverted by the same means that the Habsburgs and the Bourbons were, the dynasties in Austria and France, by money. It seems that white Gentile elites are peculiarly susceptible to being corrupted by money and position. And that when you control money, you know, the prostitutes at certain street corners in Memphis have a quaint saying, money talks and BS walks. And that seems to describe what happens in Western Gentile societies. And that's how Jews have traditionally gained power and ascendancy over the white masses, really since the Middle Ages forward. Am I wrong in that assumption?
Well, I think that that is part of the issue. But the other side of that coin is that, that Jews have been very successful economically, around 40% of the Forbes 500, and that starts at $1 billion, are Jewish. And the Jews, much more than non-Jews, have used their money to support Jewish causes. And an awful lot of those Jewish causes really are focused on the dispossession of white America.
Well, you know, that tracks back to the Middle Ages when white Christians, Gentiles, were prohibited from lending money because of the interpretation of the Bible that had ascendancy at that time, and nature abhors a vacuum, so Jews became the money changers, the lenders, the bankers, like the Rothschilds and whatnot. And by the way, my ancestors on the English side were servants in the Rothschilds' family home in Buckinghamshire, Waddesdon Manor, I found out, surprisingly enough. But so anyway, that's how they gained expertise in money. And, you know, they, like you said, they're not at all reluctant to use money in order to influence politics and to influence the culture. And that takes us to the second question. Why and why are they so antithetical to the interests of white Gentiles above all others?
Well, there's just been a long history of conflict. You have to see it from the Jewish point of view. From their point of view, the history of the West is basically a history of anti-Semitism. There have been these pogroms, there have been persecutions. They've been expelled from pretty much all Western European countries at one time or another. Then ultimately the Holocaust, World War II, and how they see that. So they, from their point of view, the West is something that has to be controlled, that you've had these outbreaks of anti-Semitism. And so and that was one of the points that I made in an article on gun control, because Jewish activist organizations and Jewish money is very much on the side of gun control. Well, one of the motives, and this is from a Jewish publication, is Jewish hostility towards the traditional people and culture of America, especially rural America, especially the South, especially, you know, I'd also say rural America in the Middle West and the West. And in my article, I quote from another scholar talking about this antipathy, that this Jewish intellectual elite had this antipathy towards rural white America. Especially, they also had this antipathy towards these upper class WASPs and so on. But it's a different kind of thing, and this hatred towards the rural America, rural white America, is still playing out. You can see it now in the gun control thing, but also the immigration. They want to make those areas less homogeneously white. They want to make whites a minority because they fundamentally fear. There's a sort of fear and loathing, are often the words I use, that there's a fear of white.
Well, you know that Bill Ayers, you know, the radical that was apparently a mentor to Obama, was taped by an FBI informant saying that, you know, if we win the culture war or we win the revolution, that we're going to have to exterminate at least 25% of the American population. And as someone else said, I'm trying to remember who it was, that if there had been a successful Bolshevik revolution in America, we know who would have gone to the gulags, would have been Southern and Western whites. That's because we shared the same characteristics that Ukrainians and white Russians who were sent to the gulags in Bolshevik Russia had in their eyes. We were culturally backward and overly religious.
That's right. That's actually a point I made in a book review I did of Yuri Slezkin, who sort of boast. He's an academic, a historian at the University of California. And, you know, he talks about the huge Jewish role in the extermination, or the huge, you know, like 20 million Russians who died under Bolshevism. And, you know, that's one of the obvious points, that if there had been a revolution in America, you can tell who would have been the ones slated for mass extermination. It would have been white Americans, especially rural whites, especially religious whites who are culturally backward. And the reality is we are undergoing a sort of slow motion Bolshevik revolution. And when whites get in a relatively powerless position, which may happen, you know, later in the century, because we are slated to be a minority.
Well, this is fascinating, and we're going to pick this up on the other side of the break, Kevin. Please stay with us. We are listening with the oral equivalent of bated breath.
We'll be right back. Well put, Keith.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's been our great honor to host Dr. Kevin MacDonald on the first show of the new year. 1 hour isn't nearly enough. 10 hours with this man wouldn't even scratch the surface, but we're doing the best we can with the time we've got. And, Kevin, you know, you mentioned in the last segment an article that you recently posted at theoccidentalobserver.net entitled Jewish Organizations Lead the Gun Control Campaign. Another one of our semi-regular guests, Brother Nathaniel Kapner, who is Jewish. He turned his back on Judaism, but he has recently published a video that exposes the subset of Jewish movers and shakers who want to limit the gun rights of Americans. And so you have no shortage. And so that's certainly, and there are some out there that are honest, like Nathaniel Kapner. Paul Gottfried is honest on some issues, and there are a few others that have been good friends of this program. But there are no shortage of conservatives, millions of them, that lament the fact that the media is obviously evil and twisted and is pushing a set of values on America that we don't want to embrace, but is slowly beginning to take hold because Americans do seem to follow what is popular and trendy and in vogue. No shortage of conservatives, millions of them that lament the war on Christmas, the culture war, the war against guns, but they all lack the ability to connect the dots and find the common denominator. They are absolutely oblivious to what that common denominator is. Kevin, first of all, why is that? Because the truth is out there, as we've mentioned in a couple of times tonight. Jews in their own publications brag about the fact that they have the control of the media, that they are leading the culture war, and that they're in charge of taking our fortresses and entertainment and academia and government and so on and so forth, or have at least a disproportionate amount of representation there. Is, you know, how have so many conservatives missed this common denominator? And is it even important that they find it, or why is it important that they find it?
Yeah, that's good. It always bothers me to listen to people like Rush Limbaugh or read Ann Coulter, and they, as you say, they will talk about the fact that
the symptoms,
liberal media and all that, but they will never talk about Jewish power in the media. And so that there is to why the media is like this remains a huge mystery. It's sort of like they're just sort of bad or something like that, and we just have to sort of live with it. All we can do, that's just what it ends up being. And that's why I think that if you really have to know who your enemies are, at least, some of us have to be talking about this. Because, I can imagine, some people may not want to talk about Jewish issues. It is difficult. It's dangerous and all that. But we should know who our enemies are and who's, what they're trying to do. Anybody who's really trying to figure out where to go from here has got to realize that this is not just an economic game or whatever. It's an ethnic game. That Jews in the, who run the media see this as an ethnic game, and they have this hostility towards the traditional people and culture of America. It's just very, very common.
Kevin, this is Keith Alexander again. What I've always said is that political correctness didn't grow like Topsy. It's not just a happenstance or a coincidence. And the two greatest taboos, it's intended to basically corral and limit the public discussion. And the two greatest taboos are race and Jewish power and influence. And people obtain a sinecure in the mainstream media like Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, you name them, as conservative pundits, and they keep those positions specifically because they observe the boundaries of political correctness. And I tell people there's a reason why when you go into court, you swear not only to tell the truth, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because it was understood by our Anglo-Saxon forefathers that created the jury system that anything except the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is essentially a lie and misleading. And that's exactly what it is when you listen to Ann Coulter or Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly talk about the symptoms of that occur as a result of Jewish power and influence without discussing the source of the problem, which is Jewish power and influence.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's one of the things that drives me crazy a bit. This is why the average person really doesn't have a clue. The average person thinks he's really, really being enlightened and conservative by, listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's a dittohead and all that, and they really like Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter is just this fearless, wonderful person. You know, that's the thing. That's where they get their ideas. These people don't, you know, they're not independent scholars that go out and ferret all these facts out. So they are dependent on these talking heads in the media.
Well, you know, it's not even people like that exclusively. You may be familiar with Sergej Trifkovich at Chronicles Magazine. He was asked at a seminar that they had to discuss the source of, you know, the problems that he was talking about, and he responded by saying, "I've already been banned from one country. Do you want me banned from another one?" So, you know, there are plenty of people that fear violating the boundaries of political correctness, and I'm afraid that, you know, for example, we had John Derbyshire, who got in trouble when he was at National Review and lost his sinecure there, speak at the Council of Conservative Citizens Convention this summer. And it was quite obvious that he wanted to beg himself back into their good graces, and he made the misstep of talking about the race issue. The other great taboo is Jewish power and influence, and you know, people that do it like us get cast into the outer darkness.
Yeah, actually, John Derbyshire is interesting. He is very good on race. The column he wrote for Taki Mag called The Talk is a true classic, I think. But he will not talk about Jewish issues. He's a philo Semite. He loves Jews. He thinks they're wonderful. He got a sort of negative review, but respectful of my book, The Culture of Critique. Just the other day, he wrote an article for VDare where he's talking about the origins of this view that everything is determined by culture, not biology or genes. And he attributed it to this guy, Alfred Kroeber, who's an important anthropologist, but he was a student of Franz Boas. Franz Boas is Jewish, and he's the one who really invented that movement. All the power, all the influence really came through Franz Boas and his many, many students. You know, so there's this sort of attempt to write Jews out of the history of the left in America by these guys. And I think it's just very short-sighted. I think that we have to know who our enemies are. We have to understand what has happened.
Let me talk to one thing you just mentioned, and that was Franz Boas. I think a key to understanding Jewish domination in government is technocracy, which was, you know, the subject of a lot of pseudo-sophisticate cocktail party chatter back in the 20s and 30s, and it is my belief that it was a Jewish invention. By 1920s, the Jews had been in America in large numbers, or significant numbers, let's say that, for about 30 years, and they'd learned some things. They had learned that they had absolutely no talent in getting elected to political office, one, but two, they had a lot of power being recognized as experts in their field, so they invented this thing called government by experts. That's where you get people like Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, and Richard Perle dominating a weaker mind like George W. Bush into accepting neoconservatism and starting the Iraq War, for example.
I would go along with that as far as George Bush went. I think he was a babe in the woods. They saw it coming. They took advantage of it, and they sold him on this. And anyway, the result is we had this horrendous war. It cost $1 trillion, cost 5,000 men dead. It's just horrifying to see what happened. Yeah, I mean, Jews have understood that as a small minority, they have to make alliances, and they have to, if they're going to have influence, their voice is going to be magnified tremendously if they have a big presence in the media. So pretty early on, after Jews got to America, they started buying up media. By 1940, they had control of many of America's most important newspapers, two of the three radio networks, and so on. So it's you know, this has been going on for a very long time. All the Hollywood studios were there in their hands by that time. So they understood that they had this need to amplify their voice. And when it comes to influencing government, They have understood that you have to have money, you have to, you know, lobby these people, you have to put fear into them. The Israel lobby is the most successful lobby around. I mean, and they put fear of God in the politicians.
And the only
and they vote for them.
And again, Kevin, the only problem with that, if Jews with all their power and influence were advocating for our best interests, I'd be their biggest fan. But unfortunately, they're not. And with that, folks, we're out of time. I tell you, we could plow this field for 10 hours and it wouldn't be enough. But folks, keep up with the work of Dr. Kevin MacDonald at theoccidentalobserver.net. Kevin, thank you for your time tonight.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed it.
As always, I'm James Edwards, and for Keith Alexander and the rest of the crew, Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday night right here, same time, same place. God bless y'all.